This is Radio Influence, podcasting redefined. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles on this fine Monday morning. We have a lot to talk about. A lot of things happened last week as far as football goes. It's preseason football, and it's in full swing. And I swear I'd like to pull every media member aside in the whole nation and just say this to them. You guys do all know this is preseason football, right? Because when I'm whether I'm watching ESPN or watching the NFL Network or watching local television, everybody puts substantially too much stock in preseason football. Is preseason football important? Yes, it is. It's important to get timing done, to get your players in shape. It's amazing how I can listen to people evaluate football players from one or two preseason series. Already, people are, Fitzy, what's wrong with Fitzy? He doesn't look good. Have you seen Jameis? Have you seen how good Jameis looks? Okay. Jameis Winston is top 20 quarterbacks in the world, correct? You can't give me 20 quarterbacks that are better than Jameis Winston in the world. You're putting Jameis Winston in the second quarter against second string defense and a team that's not game planning him. If he doesn't succeed, then he's top 20 in the world. There's no reason why Jameis Winston shouldn't go in there in the second quarter and completely annihilate anything that any preseason defense can do to him. It's vanilla. There's very few blitzing. There's very few disguising. And it's vanilla. It's amazing how people want, Jameis looks great. Baker Mayfield, you see how great he looks? Stop it, please. It happens every single year. Saquon Barkley, after his first run, he was going to the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. And if you rewind this tape back, just right after the draft or even back to last college football season, this is what I said about Saquon Barkley. Boy, I tell you what, he's one of the probably more talented running backs I've seen in a long, long time. This is what came out next. But he's a hamstring waiting to happen. That came out next. I know I said that a few times. And by the way, he just pulled his hamstring. You can't run violently in the NFL anymore. There's no violent runners in the NFL other than right now Beast Mode, who's at the end of his career and really didn't do all that great last year other than the first game he came back, I believe. Adrian Peterson used to be a violent runner. He's not a violent runner anymore. I would say Fournette runs hard, but he was injured for quite a bit of the season last year. You know, when I played way back when, there was violent runners that played every single year. You can't be a violent runner in the NFL anymore. Saquon Barkley, all the talent he has, he will not stay healthy. I promise you he won't. There's no way. But there's people overreacting about preseason football all over the place. You know, our Buccaneers went to Tennessee, and they practiced those guys last week, you know, in a little joint practices, which are good for everybody out there, just to see a different feel, see a different player. The intensity ramps up quite a bit. From what I hear, the Bucs went over there on the first day and pretty much put it to Tennessee. That happens at times. I've been on both ends of that when I was either in Philadelphia or Tampa, where we were scrimmaging either the Dolphins or Jacksonville, or it could be the Buffalo Bills over there in Philadelphia. And maybe sometimes you come out the first day and one team is a little bit more ramped up than the other team and one team takes an ass kicking. So I guess the Buccaneers kicked some royal ass the first day. And the second day, they say it evened out a little bit, and Tennessee brought a little bit more moxie to them. So it's good to know that the Buccaneers were ready for the test. And the lights went on Saturday night. Fitzy didn't look as clean as he has in the past. I know he definitely missed a couple balls to DeSean Jackson that I would believe he's going to make during the regular season. Let's hope. All I'm happy about is that DeSean Jackson is getting wide-ass open, okay? He's been doing that since he's got here to Tampa Bay. And when you look at this football team in general, we are sexy on paper. And I think the Bucs have been sexy on paper before, but I'm not quite sure this sexy. Because when I say on paper, that doesn't mean if everybody plays the way they normally play, we're going to be 11-5. That's not it. DeSean Jackson has to play substantially better than he played last year. That's for sure. And I think he has it in him. Mike Evans has to play better than he did last year. Okay? So when I say on paper, I'm saying potentially. Cameron Brate, I think, is going to be about what he's been. And we don't need much more than Cameron Brate. O.J. Howard potentially can be one of the biggest targets in the NFL this year. I don't know if mentally he's ready yet. I see him doing some good things. I'm seeing getting after some blocks. And what I want to see is O.J. Howard, when that ball's in the air, man, it's got to belong to you. I just don't see him as a dog quite yet. He's trying to, grow into his body and his mentality a little bit. Because I saw Cameron Brate make an amazing catch in a crowd. And I just didn't see that from O.J. Howard. And it hasn't come out yet. You just got to see a little bit more fight, definitely. Now, I made a prediction before, maybe a couple weeks ago, that I believe Mike Evans has a breakout year. He made a couple catches in the game that were amazing towards the sideline. Mike Evans is, when you talk about fight, I mean, Mike Evans believes that he's the best receiver in the NFL. That's good, because he's going out and he's preparing himself and he's fighting out there on Saturday or Sunday and going out there fighting like he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. And I love that personally. So I'm predicting that Mike Evans has a huge year. If he has a huge year, that could only help DeSean Jackson, because if you leave DeSean Jackson out there one-on-one, he's going to tear the back end out of a lot of defenses. And we need to see that this year. But on paper, when you talk about, with the Mike Evans and the DeSean Jackson and the Humphreys and the Godwins, and we're talking about our tight end situation. That Eau Claire kid is a number 3 tight end. Not bad either. We have a lot of freaking talent. We really do. We got to put it all together. The quarterback position is still somewhat of a question mark, and it has to be since our starters not started the first 3 games. So it ain't nothing but a question mark. The first 3 games, they decide what's going on for the rest of that year. It's like you have to come out of the box. Very few people limp out of the box and succeed later on, because it just becomes too pressure filled. As you know, it's too much pressure as you go through the season. But our quarterback position obviously is our big question mark. I would hope that Jameis was somewhat embarrassed on Saturday when Marcus Mariota came out of the game before Jameis Winston went into the game. I hope that embarrassed Jameis a little bit. He had to be embarrassed in this whole situation. I hope he is. Because if he's not, then we have a problem. Because the only thing holding him back right now, right now Marcus Mariota is winning the sweepstakes. And you know what? Marcus Mariota is not a better quarterback. He's just in a better situation. If you put Jameis where Marcus was, and we're going to talk about Jameis and mistakes in a second, but Jameis wouldn't have to do as much to get those Tennessee Titans to the playoffs like he did last year. Marcus Mariota had 13, I believe it was 13 touchdowns and 15 interceptions last year. It might have been the other way around, but either way, that's not lighting up the league at all. He just didn't lose games. Jameis Winston is not that quarterback. Marcus Mariota is kind of the cerebral, low-key type of guy. And he's one of those guys where he could not lose a game, Here is the numbers. Last year, or in their careers, Mariota, 58 touchdowns, 34 interceptions. Okay? Jameis, 69 touchdowns, 44 interceptions. Yards, Jameis, 11,600, and Mariota, 9,400. So they're close in numbers. And what it does say is Jameis takes more chances and Jameis makes more mistakes. And that's a fact. Mariota plays within himself a little bit more. Jameis is going to take chances. That's the way it goes. You know, I've had this conversation with so many people this weekend. How are we going to stop Jameis from making that one throw that he made, that touchdown throw? And the touchdown throw he made in Tennessee is a throw that either today or yesterday, when they're watching film, the coach probably turned the film off and he probably said, Jameis, that was a touchdown, but there's no need for this again. He's done that numerous times, and more often than not, it turns out poorly. Now, can you get it out of somebody? I'm not sure. Could you get it out of Brett Favre? Nobody ever did. No, Brett Favre is going to be like Jameis Winston. He's going to throw a lot of touchdowns, and he's also going to throw a lot of interceptions. He's also going to take a lot of chances. I'm not sure you can take that away from Jameis Winston, seriously. So, going forward, I think you got to take the good with the bad, and you got to take the pretty with the ugly, because that's just the way Jameis Winston is as a football player. It's not always pretty, but he's going to make some fantastic plays. He really is, but he's going to make some bonehead plays. And the fortunate part is the bonehead play on Saturday was a touchdown for us. So when that happens, we're going to be okay, but he's going to have a couple of those every game. That's just going to be the way it is. Now, if you guys ever want to email me and you have some questions about football, you can email me, ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com, if you want to get that done. I got a couple emails here. One is from Paul R. That's pretty much asking me. He said, I always said that I had problems switching sides. I was a right guard, and they tried to switch me to left guard my last season in Denver, and I just couldn't do it. I wasn't able to switch it in my mind and my legs and my hands, everything. It didn't work for me. Then he said, pretty much Donald Penn is trying to get that done with the Raiders. Do you think it could work? Now, I don't know when the Raiders decided this. Some offensive linemen switch sides in practice. If they told Donald Penn in the offseason, we're going to switch you to right tackle, and he had the whole offseason of practice over there, that's a little bit different. For me, willy-nilly, all of a sudden trying to switch to left guard, it was an abortion. It was not pretty whatsoever. So, can Donald Penn do it? Sure. I think Donald Penn really is built more so like a right tackle. And, you know, he's losing a step maybe a little bit at the end of his career, and there's less speed over there normally. So I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Penn ends up playing over there on the right side for Chucky over there with the Raiders. And this other email I got from Darren Castles is talking about, and I think you misheard me a little bit, Darren, when I was talking about rookies and setting them aside when they're going too hard in practice. You asked me, you know, how can a rookie establish himself in training camp when the veterans are telling them they're going too hard? What I'm talking about, rookies and younger players going too hard in practice, I'm talking about during the regular season. During training camp, you can't tell anybody anything, nothing. You sound stupid in training camp. You tell somebody they're going too hard. That's what training camp is about. And if you have full pads on, that's what happens. So during the eighth week of the season, when I'm in Philadelphia and my body's all broke up, I don't want a rookie Jeremiah Trotter who's not playing coming straight downhill and try to split my helmet open when you're not playing on Sunday. That ain't the time and place. So, you know, you got to take care of your business in that situation. But, yeah, you don't throttle people back down in training camp, because training camp's full speed. And a coach doesn't want to hear you telling anybody to calm it down during the preseason, that's for sure. So after watching that football game on Saturday night with the Buccaneers and the Titans, I watched it live and I watched it again. I probably watched it three times. I guess I like football a little bit. Once again, you can't take things out of preseason. It doesn't really equate. It's good to see some things. I haven't quite seen the pass rush that I would like to see. I've seen some great individual pass rushes from Gerald McCoy, who was always a monster in preseason every single year. I saw some hustle plays by Curry. I like to see that. Golston's going to get cut. Golston's been around for a while. I saw Golston in the game. Golston's been around here for a few years, kind of a role player. He's going to get cut because I saw him one of the first plays he was in there. They had him inside in a three technique, and I saw him just get flat backed. Then I saw him in the game in the fourth quarter towards the end of the game. That's not really a great indication things are going well with him. And he's always been that guy. I liked his attitude, but not quite enough plays being made. JPP, I saw, make some wonderful plays on the run. I haven't seen a whole lot of from him pass rush-wise, but it's going to come. And I've been talking to Damar Dotson, who actually was out there the other day, which is good to see him out there. And he was really talking up JPP and his pass rushing ability. And God knows we need that. You know, if we end up at the end of this season at the, you know, last in sacks and last in pressures, then we were in last place again. You can't play in this division and let Matt Ryan and Drew Brees and Cam Newton sit back there with time because they're going to shred you. That is for sure. So I saw some good things out there. Jameis did some really good looking things. Once again, take it with a grain of salt. Ryan looks like he's good. I'm not really worried about Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm really not, because he's another guy. I don't think he's going to win a lot of games for you, and I don't think he's going to lose a lot of games. So we got to be good around Ryan Fitzpatrick. I got to see great line play. I got to see us run the football a little bit with a little bit more conviction. All those things are very, very important. Now, if you guys ever want to get in contact with me, you can contact me on social media. It's at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles. And once again, Ian Beckles at RadioInfluence.com. If you guys have any emails now, Todd Monken has been calling the plays for the Buccaneers, and he's been here for a while, and you know, people have been loving what they've seen to this point. But I'm going to say this, Dirk Cutter is normally the one calling the plays. Things are a lot easier in preseason. Once you get to that regular season and you can't run the football like you want to, it becomes real hard to call plays, real hard. So maybe they give the kid a shot. I don't know. You know, Dirk Cutter, sometimes it's better to step away from the play calling. If you have enough, you know, you can pack your ego up a little bit and let somebody else, you know, call the plays, and you just advise him a little bit. Sometimes it gives you a chance to, you know, get your hands on some other things going on the bench. So we'll see what happens during regular season. As of right now, you know, the Bucs look pretty good offensively. But once again, we have our number two quarterback starting and playing a couple of series. We have our number one quarterback playing over a quarter. So it's kind of like cheating a little bit. It's kind of cheating a little bit. But, you know, the Buccaneers have looked, to this point, they're 2-0. I tell everybody that's the most insignificant number you could possibly hear is your record in preseason. Coaches don't care if you win or not. Coaches just like to put on the film and see players in the right place, taking the right angles, you know, making the right calls, and playing hard. That's it. The victory part, it's not that important because, you know, once the end of the first quarter comes about and all your starters come out, I mean, that's not really your football team. So believe me, in locker rooms, after the ones come out, that's when coaches don't really care that much anymore. They want you to play hard. And if the twos get beat up, they're going to let the twos know. But when you talk about this is your football team, when the ones come out, that's it. That's for sure. I know you guys love to watch Hard Knocks like I am. And I love to watch. I guess I heard Josh Gordon is going to be back. So that's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how he shows up and how he represents himself. And I don't know how somebody can last a 17-week season when you can't even really depend on them to get to camp on time. It doesn't usually work that way, unfortunately. But I'll be watching Hard Knocks, that's for sure. I'm definitely a loyal watcher and loyal listener. I appreciate you guys listening in. This has been In the Trenches. Once again, you guys want to email me, IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. And you want to hit me up on social media, it's at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles. Everybody have a wonderful week. Enjoy your football. And we'll talk a little fantasy as well coming up. We'll be back again next week. Everybody enjoy your week. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Do you love college football? Of course you do. And there's no better place for your college football conversation than right here on Rush the Field. I'm Scott Seidenberg, and alongside my co-host, veteran coach, scout, and consultant Chris Landry, we're going to break down the college game from all different aspects. Whether it's breaking news, big-time matchups, or just arguing about the rankings, Chris and I will have it all covered. So join us on Rush the Field with me, Scott Seidenberg, and Chris Landry. Available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.